Good afternoon. Obviously, a very exciting day. I'm very happy to be back in this room, I can tell you that, in terms of a press conference of this magnitude for our football team and our organization. Again, this speaks to our ownership. Brian Glazer's here in attendance. Obviously, the Glazer family has once again stepped up to help us build the best team we could possibly be because we want to be back in the playoffs and be a contender and win championships. We had an opportunity that arose over the last several months, I would say, and certainly came to fruition over the last couple days of adding what we feel is the premier defensive player in the league at a position of much need for our football team. At the same point, brings a lot of character to this football team in terms of work ethic, leadership, and again, his play. I'm very excited about having Darrell Revis on this football team, being a member of our football team, being a member of our community, and helping us win a lot of games. So I'll hand it over to head coach and let him speak a couple.
Thanks, Mark. I, too, want to recognize the Glazer family, the commitment they're making to our football team and have continued to make to our football team. I'd also like to recognize the great job that Mark Dominic did in patiently working through this process. Certainly, Darrell Revis is a guy that's going to help our team immensely, but it wasn't easy, and I saw Mark work through the frustration and being patient to get done what ultimately is best for our football team. And last but not least, thrilled to have Darrell with us, not only as a player, certainly, what I view as the best defensive back in the game of football, but a tremendous person and going to be a great addition to our team and to our community. We're all thrilled to have you here. So here we go.
Thank you, Coach. Just want to say a couple words. I want to thank the Glazer family. I want to thank Mark. I also want to thank Coach for bringing me a part of this team. And I'm going to do my best. That's how I work. That's my work ethic. I work hard. And I'm going to bring as much leadership as I can to this team. The biggest goal I think we all have here is to win. Is to win. And there's no better place to win here. So I'm here with Tampa, and I thank you guys for the opportunity, and let's go win some games.
Amen. Exactly right.
Darrell, how close do you think this organization is to making some noise this season?
We're going to make a lot of noise. Don't worry about that. I think this was a great move on my part to come be a part of this organization. The tangibles that we have on this team and Josh Freeman and Vincent Jackson, Doug Martin. I can go down the list of players that we have on this team, but we have some great guys. And that was one of the things that me and my team looked at to be a part of this organization. We got some guys that can already play, and I think that's the best fit for me.
Darrell, can you talk a little bit about your health, your leg?
We're not going to really get into the health issues right now. I'm working as hard as I can, and now I'm going to be here down here with Todd, our head trainer, working now, and we're going to do the best we can, to get me prepared to play football again.
Mark, there was a notion out there that perhaps you guys were getting a little impatient with negotiations with the Jets. Can you shed a little bit of light on that?
I would say that we knew that there was a timeline and a deadline that we felt like this trade had to occur to make it happen in terms of making sure that we checked all the boxes to make a trade of this magnitude happen. And so, yeah, there was an element of time that we thought we needed to just decide whether we're going to do this as an organization or not. And had lots of good conversations with John Idzik. Obviously, I've worked with John Idzik before. So we have a good relationship, so we know when to pick up the phone and talk to each other. And so we kind of got down to it and really hammered it out. It was probably a good 5 or 6 hours of back-and-forth conversations, back-and-forth phone calls. But at the end of the day, we both feel like this was one of those win-win situations for each organization, and I'm certainly happy that I'm sitting next to Darrell Revis.
Were there moments of angst in which you thought maybe a deal couldn't be made?
Yeah, I believe so. Again, we talk about this in the past about rare and unique opportunities. We feel like as an organization, this is a rare and unique opportunity. When you think of those players of this magnitude that get traded ever. It doesn't happen very often. So there's time in your mind that says this may not happen. And I appreciate what Coach said. It takes a lot of patience throughout the whole building to understand that it takes time for these things to develop and actually mature into the opportunity to trade for Darrell Revis. There was times where I wasn't sure this was going to happen. I never fully felt that way until I actually received the trade papers that John and I had negotiated, and actually we signed them and both understood that this was happening.
Was this in that it seemed like you guys were kind of the only players here with the Jets, almost bidding against yourself, so to speak?
Theoretically, you could say that. I think a couple things. I think we've been very prudent with how we've managed the salary cap here as an organization. I think we've tried to do everything we could to put ourselves in situations where if this opportunity ever arose, we would be in position to do so. I think that's been something we've been talked about as an organization in terms of how we've been spending our money over the last few years. Vincent Jackson and Carl Nix, certainly now Deshaun Goldson and now Darrell Revis, along with still drafting a lot of young players that we're still developing. I would say that at the end of the day, I felt like we were in good position. I don't know if there's a lot of teams that are in the same position we were, but I also understand that there's great value to add a player of this caliber, and understanding that they don't have to make the trade. There's no one that says they have to do it. And that's therefore, we were as understanding and comfortable with the decision that we made as an organization to move forward and the compensation we obviously gave the Jets.
How much were you in the loop and through this process, which has been going on for, I think, a couple months, Mark? I mean, how much were you in the loop, or were you at the mercy of reading reports, or can you tell us a little about that?
I was involved as much as I can be, you know. Don't really hear what's going on. You know, I really don't try to pay attention to what goes on in the media. You know, I get confirmation, you know, from my team, and then we move from there. Just like Mark said, we don't know if this deal was going to go down or not. You know, it's a bunch of parties that play a big part in this. So, you know, I just hear back from my team and go from there with the information.
Well, you mentioned Freeman and Jackson and Doug Martin. You can go down the list. How much better do you think this team is than the Jets? Do you think the Bucs are a playoff team?
Yes. I think they were a playoff team even before me, even being a part of the Buck Nation. I'm just adding piece to it, and I'm gonna do as much as I can, and for this team, and I'm sure Doug and Josh and VJ are going to do the same thing. I think we all have the same common goal. Just me, Mark, and Coach up here, as well as Mr. Glazer and everybody a part of this organization. We just want to win. We hardworking people. We want to win games.
Teams don't normally trade their best player. Mm-hmm. And the Jets just did that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, how much disbelief did you have when your representatives first came to you and said, hey, the Jets may trade you. They're talking to teams about trading you.
At that point, you know, when I heard that information, I felt some type of way. You know, I'm human. You know, I have feelings just like everybody in this room do. And especially at a time where, I was injured. You know, I was injured. So I didn't know what to expect or what was going to happen, you know, going down the road. So, I felt some type of way when you get the information and you hear you're getting traded. Yeah, it feels like, that team is giving up on you, you know, at a time in my career where I never had an injury like this. So, yeah, I felt a type of way about it.
Knowing you have a chip on your shoulder now going forward, like you got something to prove a little bit?
I don't have nothing to prove to the New York Jets. I have nothing to prove to anybody. You know, I know my expectations as a player, and that's that. You know, me working hard off the field, I get the results on the field, and that's just playing great football. That's just what I do. So it really doesn't matter what other people think or me having a chip. No, I don't have a chip for the New York Jets. I have a chip because I want to get back out on the field and play ball, though.
you said something to the effect of an elite cornerback on
okay.
your defense.
Say that again.
Greg, talk about the impact of an elite cornerback like Darrell Revis on the entire Buck defense.
Well, certainly has a big effect, right? When any coach, if you can have a player that you can match up on another team's best receiver, you can do some different things schematically. When you have a player of Darrell's talents. So, you know, we've already begun our preparation and how to best utilize him. And a lot of that will come in conversations with Darrell. You know, what he's comfortable doing, what he feels best doing. This isn't a rookie out of college. This is a guy who's played and been very successful in this league. So we're going to play to his strengths within our scheme.
Darrell, you said you wanted – I know you don't want to get specific into your health, but you said we're doing the best we can to get out there on the field, I think what you just said.
Yeah.
Is there a question as to whether or not you can get on the field this year?
Is there a question whether or not if I'm going to play?
You may not be able to play this year. Or play first part of the
game. I can, Tom, I can handle it. I mean,
yeah, go ahead.
Our medical, I feel very good. You take that one. Right? No, I would say that this, we took our due diligence in this. We took our time. We made sure we flew in our top doctors to make sure that they had time to evaluate the MRI, to evaluate the surgery, to evaluate everything. And then Coach and I discussed it with the Glazer family, and we all came to a conclusion. We feel very confident or we wouldn't have done this. It's obviously a significant trade. It's a significant amount of money. But at the same point, we have a lot of confidence in what we've done here as an organization with players in the past. And we feel very good about where he's at. And so we're looking forward to it. I'm not concerned.
I passed my physical, right?
Yes.
I passed the physical.
Talk about your decision to sign a contract that has no guaranteed payouts.
Excuse me?
Talk about your decision to sign a contract that has no guaranteed payouts.
You know, this contract is it's unique. It's unique in a lot of ways. And you know, I know the specifics of it, but I'm sure that will come out of the specifics. I know it's no guarantee, but you know, it's a lot of things that I think Mark and my representatives work well on this contract, and it's unique, but it is what it is. It you know, it's out there, and I'm sure it'll get broken down even more into when it gets out there publicly with the contract.
It seems to speak to a confidence that you seem to have in yourself, though, to sign a contract like that. Was that part of your thinking, that you're confident that you're gonna earn that money on merit?
That can play a part in it. You know, I'm a confident person. I'm a confident player. That's how I play. That's just how I play on the field. So, you know, everybody got contracts, and you know, everybody's in their own different deal. Mine is unique in a way, but. I have to play. I have to play ball, and I got to go out there and perform. That's it. The contract will take care of itself. I just got to go out there and play.
Greg, how much did you have to do with this trade in particular? How much did you want and how much did you have to do with it?
Well, Mark and I communicate on everything, and I think that's been the best thing about this first year is we were constantly meeting together, talking together, and we decide, and then we bring it to our ownership, and then they feed back to Mark, and I think it's a great method of communication and channels of communication. And certainly we both felt strongly that this was the best thing for our football team. Otherwise, we wouldn't be sitting here. We wouldn't have suggested it to the Glazer family. And I can only tell you I'm thrilled that we are sitting here with Darrell.
Darrell, there was a belief in New York that you wanted to finish your career with the Jets. Obviously, they didn't make the long-term commitment to you. The Bucs have. How important was that you got a long-term commitment from this team and they showed you the money that you've been looking to earn?
You know, it's a blessing. It's a blessing that, you know, how highly this organization looks at me. It didn't happen in New York, and for certain reasons. You know, it's a lot of reasons out there. Why not? But I'm here now. You know, I'm here, and I'm a Buck, and that's how this is going to be for the next 6 years.
Well, when you talk about the difference in the stability of this organization versus the one you just left.
We're not going to get into all of that. the stability of we're not comparing. We're not going to compare the two organizations. You know, I had a great time in New York. You know, I was a young man. I was 21. You know, I grew. I experienced a lot of things. I learned a lot of things. Now it's time to move on. It's a new chapter. And the only thing we need to talk about right now is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Adrian Peterson faced a lot of questions, and we all know what happened with him last year. As confident as you are, do you think it's natural for people to wonder, what is this guy going to have when he gets out there, given the skill sets required?
I think people are going to, you know, sit here and say, how is he going to perform? How is he going to play? Is he going to be like he was before? You know, I understand all of that. But you know, this is something that you know, I'm a hard worker. It's all on me and what I put into it. You know, I give it my all, whatever I do, and you know, that's for, you know, you guys the right to sit there and say, how is he going to be? But even on that, to touch on Adrian Peterson, I mean, we're two different players. You know, he plays running back, I play corner. It's two different positions, and everybody tries to compare me, my injury to him. Have you talked to him? It's totally two different situations. So I'm in my situation now, and I got to do the best I can to get back out on the field and do what I have to do.
Could you talk about playing the Jets in your first game, heading back up there, and maybe playing another game up there next year?
It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. That's it, week one. You can't go around it. You can't go over it. It's week one. So I'm excited about it. I'm sure our coach is excited as well. And it's on the schedule. You know, whoever we play on the schedule, we got to face them, and we got to go out there and try to win.
Talk about the trade and how difficult it was to stay patient with all the fits and starts. And was there something that really kick-started it to get it going this weekend?
I would just say that, again, communication is the key on how we got this trade to happen throughout our organization, then also with John Edzik. And I think that just, you know, you have to just wait for the phone calls. You've got to make the phone calls, and you got to think through the organization and the decision. You have to look at the draft board. You have to look at the way you're structuring our team. We don't just look at 1 year at a time here. We're always trying to look forward. How does this contract affect our football team in 2014, 15, 16, 17? And so we're looking at all those different avenues, and at the same point, staying in touch with the Jets in case this opportunity came together. I'd say just again, it really started to push. I'd say last Thursday was probably when everything really started to motivate and escalate to where this could actually happen. We'd be sitting here today.
Obviously, every team would love to have a player like Darrell, but you do play an aggressive style of defense. You ask a lot of your corners. And given in that context, I mean, what is the value of having a player like this in that context, given what you ask your corners to do?
Extremely valuable, yeah. And a corner that likes to play that stuff, too. And, you know, and I've had history of coaching against him way back in college and being able to watch him, and I know that he can do everything that we ask our corners to do and more. So, very excited.
Mark, the thought process of paying Darrell what you're paying him, mm-hmm. and giving up two picks, you essentially could have gotten four or five good players in this transaction. So the pros and cons of having that, maybe more depth on your team with better players, and one guy who can do what he does.
Yeah, and I think that's what it is. That's what we've been talking about as an organization in terms of adding the caliber of type of player. You win in this league with your starters and your stars. And certainly we feel like we are starting to really – we've grown a great organization now of a lot of young talent that's all maturing at the same time. They're all in their early 20s to their late 20s. We have, you know, eight guys that have been to the Pro Bowl in this organization now that are on this football team that are, you know, being voted by their peers as elite players. For us with Darrell Revis, you know, our thought was it's an opportunity to add the elite player and a position of much need to our team. And so – to me, I'd rather spend it this way and make sure that we walk out with the player that we want to believe in and that we do believe in that can be an impact starter for our football team and really change us as a defense. And I looked at the draft board. We talked about the different options and everything. But at the end of the day, as much as you can do on young men and trying to get all the information you can, it's still a draft. And this is a known commodity that we really strongly believe in, and that's why we pulled the trigger.
Darrell would have been a free agent after this year. Was there thought given to maybe trying to get him then? And did that, when the rest of the field joins, did that hasten sort of your opportunity now?
Well, yeah, no, I appreciate the question. You know, sure, we talked about different things. I couldn't get Neil Schwartz or Jonathan Feinside to guarantee they would sign here next year yet. And so that made it a little more difficult. But, no, we certainly talked about that opportunity. But at the same point, this is an opportunity to add him to our team today. And to know that. And that's important because, again, there's going to be – if Darrell Revis, when he plays next year and plays out the season, hypothetically played out his contract, we're bidding against 30 other organizations for the elite player in the National Football League. Let's bring him to Tampa now, and that's why we did it.
Mark, this trade talk started a few months ago, even back in the combine. You know, the asking price was always what we heard, multiple draft picks, like a couple of number ones, even a two or a three and 14. Was that just talk, or was the asking price when you guys first got into this that high and did it take, and how much work did it take to get it down to what it ended up being?
I would sit there and say that the asking price was reasonable in regards to the eliteness of the player. And so that's where a lot of discussion went back and forth between John Idzik and myself, but also having to factor in, can we get him signed? I don't know. We have to speak to the representation and see if we can actually get the deal done. Can we? Where is he at medically? You know, how do you factor that into a trade of this magnitude as well? So those are all the different elements. But certainly when you talk about a guy that's obviously been to four Pro Bowls, he's an All-Pro, Defensive Player of the Year, and then the character and the leadership. I think I'm excited for Tampa Bay and for our fans to get to know Darrelle Revis even more, because I think they're going to see what he brings to this organization, how important it is to put a man of his caliber in that room with the other cornerbacks and other secondary guys we have, and really the entire defense and team, the impact that's all going to have. So we had to work through all those things to come to where we were with John, and it was a lot of conversations, I can assure you that.
Were the Jets asking for a lot more at first then or not?
There, you know, I appreciate the question. But the negotiations were a lot of work in both ways.
Was this strictly a football decision, Mark, or was there a little bit of getting star power? The Bucs have been trying to get to that 85% mark with the attendance, or was it all football?
It was all football. We didn't talk about ticket sales with Darrelle Revis at all. That wasn't the point. Our point was to win games. we didn't ask you how many tickets we could sell. No, but I mean, our thought is when you win, that's what's most important, and that's where this was a football decision. That was what it was.
Well, your teammates said they lost a leader when they lost you for the Jets. Speak about how do you lead? Yeah. Which way do you lead? How do you lead?
How do I lead?
Yes.
By example. By example. If it's something to say, you know, if it's something to say that you need to address to the team or to your teammates, then address it. You know, I don't, some leaders might, you know, they might be very vocal. They might talk, you know, they talk a lot. I lead by example first, and then if I see something and if I have to speak up and say something, then I say it, you know.
There's a locker room full of players in the building today. I imagine you had some time to get some FaceTime with some guys. What kind of reception did you receive if you had that chance?
I chatted with a couple of the guys, went to the locker room and even in the weight room. And I know a couple of these guys, just through the draft and, you know, playing against each other. So, yeah, I mean, guys were just saying, hey, you know, we're excited to have you here. It's going to be fun. So it was real cool. Everybody was accepting and everybody was just like, hey, we're excited for you.
You talked to Rondae Barber? And would you encourage him to play this year?
No, I haven't talked to him. Would love him to be back here to play. Just for me, I mean, the guy has, 17, 18 years in the league. So just to pick his brain and see how he operates as a DB would be nice to work with.
Is there a danger in throwing Darrelle into the fire too quickly, so to speak? You obviously know what he can do. And know what he has done over the course of his career. But given the fact that he is coming off this injury, would you be mindful of monitoring him, throughout training camp and perhaps early in the season?
Well, we are with all our players, and we rely heavily on Todd Torricelli, our head trainer, and our doctors. We think we have the best medical team there is in the league, and I always defer to them. So whatever their opinion is how we do it. But I think, having coached a long time, you know how to handle each situation a little differently. And we're going to do whatever's best, so when we show up to MetLife Stadium, he's ready to go opening day.
Mark, you do a lot of analysis on the draft. What are the chances with either one of those two picks that you gave up of getting a player equal to or better than a guy like Darrelle Revis?
Well, percentage-wise, that's a tough question. But the reality is, you can go back. We do a lot of, obviously, draft studies in terms of 2007, 2008, 2009, 10, and you got to go back and look at how many players that have been drafted that have had the impact that he's had in the National Football League. You could count them on one hand almost. If they're not playing quarterback, it's a very rare thing to find. And so, the reality of hopeful that we're going to do a great job in the draft to make sure we nail the 13th pick if that's where we would have stayed in this draft, hard to say. But I do know what we're getting here, and that's the most important part, because I do know we're getting a guy that's you know, played a lot of football in the National Football League at the highest level, and is regarded that way from front offices, coaching staffs, and players. And that's what's most important. So to sit there and say the level of certainty of what that position would be, or the pick, or the percentage, couldn't say, but I just know it's very rare, and that's why we did this trade.
Can you talk about the intangibles that Darrell could bring to the team for a young defense with his experience?
Well, I think it's been mentioned. You know, the nice thing for Darrell, as we talked about, he's not coming here as the only guy. We have good players, and he's going to come here and join a bunch of good players and good people. And, you know, we have one goal, to win championships. That's it. You know, that's why we're here. So I know he's set on that. I'm set on that. Our whole organization is. And he's going to have an impact. There's no doubt. You don't do what we just did if he wouldn't have an impact. So I'm very confident that he will. And I think it's good for him that he doesn't have to do it alone. He's got good supporting cast with him.
Have you talked to Mark Barron about that 24 jersey yet? Have you talked to Mark Barron about that 24 jersey yet?
We discussed it.
How important is it to you to be a great player in this league? I mean, you've obviously made your money.
Am I not a great player?
How important is it to you to be one, to continue to be one?
I think I am a great player. I mean, I think that's, you know, I mean, how important it is. I played. I did a lot of things in this league. So it's not more so how important is it. I feel like I'm a great player in this league.
Okay, thank you, everybody. We'll have some photos now up on the stage.